And we're back. It is the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Speaking more of the problems of the world and this issue with China. India. Let's remember how this happened. Pierre Trudeau, who, by the way, didn't volunteer to fight in World War II, so Justin is... he's not touched by all this. India was suddenly came up in the Canadian Parliament because the Prime Minister stood up and said, we have information. He said, I hate this language, a credible source or pointing or indicating that India was involved in the murder of a gentleman in British Columbia. The Globe and Mail said that they caused him to do that because they had notified him that they were going to run a story saying that India there was credible information. It must be credible. It comes from secret police who can't be asked questions because there's a secret police. So they had their source. And I'll make a footnote on that. We didn't see the story because the Globe, after notifying Trudeau that they were giving him a 24-hour warning or alert or heads up that they were going to go with a story, he got on his feet in Parliament and made this comment about India. And since then, it's become a rather uncomfortable world for Canada, India, a bunch of other people. But just focusing on the Globe for one moment, it's the Globe has a special source, and I don't know if they were going to say it was Whispering Smith, the guy who's been passing information from CSIS. But let's remember, there is no Whispering Smith on record. There is someone they claim is CSIS, and they claim that they have documents. And then there have been all this scurrying around where MPs run in and out of offices and say they saw things. The Canadian public isn't being shown anything, actually. But we don't have a Secret Service worth 2 cents. If they allow an employee to get on the, I don't know how he does it, she, they, him, it, regularly contact the Globe, one newspaper, not all newspapers, and make comments which damage careers, really upset international relations, raise havoc, a political havoc in Canadian culture, society. And CSIS cannot locate this individual or them. I keep having problems with this because the Globe is protecting their source. There's a little line they like to use and we're all supposed to buy it. And they say, he's told us this was not authorized by his superiors. I would ask them, how do you know that? Perhaps his superiors told him to do it. You don't even know who his superiors are. And you are raising havoc with the Liberal government, and you are a paper that supports the opposition. And CSIS Somebody, you say, at CSIS, you say, gives you information, and then you write stories. And then you wonder, you say, why didn't they know this? Why didn't they do something? It's a game. It's a dangerous, silly game. I wish they would have published the article they said they were going to do. Because it's like understanding how a game is played. How they wanted to take the lead. They wanted Mr. Parlev to leap to his feet after having read The Globe, his only paper, I assume, and then beat up on the government for the fun of it. So that happened. But what the nuts and bolts of it are just appalling. It's a well-known fact that the prime minister has a bit of a problem going way, way back with India, because he visited India, and it's generally regarded as one of the funnier or tragic moments when he visited one place or another, and each time he got off the plane, the whole family was in a different costume. But he also had a dinner party where someone who had committed a crime in Canada against an Indian representative doing his duties, going about his business, tried to kill him. I don't think they succeeded. I don't remember. But it was a crime. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? He showed up socializing with the prime minister while he was in India. That was a kind of a faux pas. But this one is very serious, because when a prime minister stands up and accuses another government of a crime in their country, and then, by the way, he couldn't resist decorating the cake, he had to say, we're a democracy, and India claims to be a democracy. But the values of democracy, you don't do that. And he said, he told Biden, he said to Biden, whoa, look at this. The Indian government has knocked off somebody in my country, killed him. And, democracies don't do that. I assume Biden said, what? Are you kidding? What do you think I do for a living? I'll give you an idea how dumb we all are and how silly this is. Under President Obama, using drones around the world, he killed, according to the reports, 565 people. They made 565 strikes. Two of those strikes killed American citizens who didn't have the right to a trial, apparently. They were killed on the orders of Obama. How do we know that? He gave an interview to the New York Times. He said, in the New York Times, he said every Thursday morning, he even told the time, I think it was 7, 8 in the morning, he would sit down with the people in charge of drone strikes and pick out, they give him a list and he picked the ones to do. That's pretty hairy, isn't it? That's like foreign interference or something. That's like striking someone in another country because you can do it. So Justin Trudeau tells Biden, and I think we're supposed to think that Biden was shocked. Maybe he was shocked in the way that a mob boss might say, hey, that's my territory. What? So I take care of stuff there. Who is that? Because that's mine. If there's somebody going to be knocked off, we do that. But it's not like, ooh, who ever heard of assassinations? I'll remind you, by the way, that the UK identified what they said was an IRA terrorist. He was in Spain. I think it might have been a man and woman, killed him. And I don't know that they bragged about it, but it was shown that they had done it. The other thing, now that the democracies are patting each other on the back and talking about rules, the United States practices, they have not abandoned it. I think they call it extraordinary extradition, where they give themselves the power and the right to take someone, say in Turkey, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Italy. They take them off the street, kidnap them. They take them to places called black ops. I'm not making it up. This is part of the historical record. Read the American Civil Liberties Union would tell you about it. I think even Human Rights Watch has said, you know, this isn't really right. They're called black sites, pardon me. Located in places like Romania, Poland, Ukraine, where they have a site where the Americans are permitted to bring somebody that they've captured and talk to them. Little conversation. It might involve a sport called waterboarding or, you know, torture, enhanced interrogation. That's what they do. And they say that, well, they have a good reason, a perfect reason. They're fighting terrorism. And since it's them, and they say they're exempt, they are an exceptional country. They often call themselves the indispensable country. By the way, would somebody please ask the prime minister or your local representative, is America an exceptional country? Is there an American exception? You're a Canadian, you represent people. Do they get to say that? And you don't say anything? So that's what they do. So they are quite familiar with assassinations. I told you, 565 hits with drones directed by President Obama. He served 8 years. George W. Bush, that all Americans thought was a clown and a buffoon and a war criminal, and they were tearing their hair to try to get him tried. He killed 55 in his 8 years. So Obama's the champ, the walk-away champ of this exercise, which is done in the name of American exceptionalism and the war against terror. Now, the Indian government points out that they've been hit a few times. Their prime minister was assassinated. They had two prime ministers assassinated. Air India, with more than 300 passengers, was blown out of the sky. All the perpetrators, according to every report, including all Canadian government reports, the perpetrators were on Canadian soil and Canadians. So, and India says, well, these guys are terrorists. I leave it to you to decide what they are. Now, the only sensible way to deal with these matters is the governments to be honest with each other and say, okay, what can we do to reduce this type of violence that we both agree to call terrorism? By the way, I don't know that Canada agrees on this language. We're getting into a phase now where Colonel Blimp is breaking out all over Canada. They all want to go to India again and beat them up because they actually think there's a British Empire. And if there's not, there must be an American Empire. And we can go in, we're going to we should go and fix them. Because I told you, they turn the machine on and there's no turning it off. All they know is that the world has to go their way and they have to have their way. And you don't treat other countries as equals. You give other countries orders. Now, of course, Canada is in an embarrassing position of being a vassal, but it is a vassal that is an Anglo-Saxon, English-speaking, Protestant, white power. It's a member of the Five Eyes. So being a member of Five Eyes, they expect the other eyes to help them out. I actually heard Andrew Cohen say, you know, America's our big brother. And we all said, ding, Orwell. All right, they're our big brother. Well, yeah, I have to say the explanation of the short-term explanation of why Trudeau and Biden are starting to act funny in regard to India is that they went to the G20 meeting and the host country was India. And the leader of India, Mr. Modi, had recently been in Washington and put on quite a show. And therefore, he thought he owned him. So Modi went home after having been told that Americans kind of like him and you're supposed to glow and go home and boast. They had the G20 meeting and Biden showed up. And there was a resolution regarding Russia and Ukraine that Five Eyes wanted. Because at previous G20 meetings, they got that resolution condemning Russia. But they didn't get it. I remember earlier I told you Zelensky's in a lot of trouble. They didn't get the resolution. And the prime guy that they know did that denied them that little prize that they were looking for was the leader of India. So it's possible, I'm not saying it's one-to-one, that they talked it over and said, well, maybe we better remind him of something. Maybe we'll put a shot across his bow or some, get his attention, which is fine. So in other words, incidentally, we've added India to our hate list. China was on the hate list and the conservatives are dining out on it because they and the globe have decided China is number one. Hate China. If China makes a move, you just denounce it. They're terrible. Blah, blah. And they're interfering in Canadian affairs. Proof of that being zilch. Zilch. They don't have any. It's malarkey. All it is China baiting. But now, to liven things up and to secure the political support for Justin Trudeau, we've added India to the list. Actually, the conservatives are a little confused what to do here because they owned this thing about fighting China. Now they have a problem. Because Trudeau wants to fight India. And it's just like, again, it's Colonel Blimp country. It's all absurd. I'll remind you, Canada is actually not a large country. And you already have China on your list to make trouble with. And you have Russia on your list to make trouble with. It's time for the Canadian people to raise their hands and say, it is time to become rational. You want peace with China? You want peace with Russia? You want peace with India? Speak to them respectfully. And if they say, I have a problem, I'd like to talk to you. I have a problem. Listen to what they say. In the case of Ukraine, to end up on this point, there was a perfectly reasonable solution. It was in the Minsk agreements. It could have been settled, but Washington, Biden didn't want to settle it. And since Biden made his mind up, Canada's mind was made up for them. That's the fix we're in. So peace is achievable, but we have to say, yes, you can talk to Russians. Yes, you could talk to China. And yes, you can talk to India respectfully. And then you'll have peace. I take it from the Mexican president who said, mutual respect is peace. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I think Paul Robeson's going to sing to us all, and we're very lucky. See you next week.
We fought for the future, destroyed the invader, and brought to our homeland the laurels of fame. A glory will live in the memory of nations, and all generations will honor her name. Long live our Soviet motherland, built by the people's mighty hand. Long live her people, united and free, strong in a friendship tried by fire. Long may our crimson flag inspire, shining in glory for all men to see. Long live our people, united.